Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. We're in the book of Luke, and we're calling this little series the Facts Behind Our Faith. And I love the fact that God used a man like Luke to set these events and these evidences in order so that we could have ample evidence to understand who Jesus is, understand what he did, give us some real information about the faith that we hold so dear. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus has now called his apostles formally. And the Bible says in verse 17, and he came down with them and stood in the plain. And that's one of the reasons, Hannah, to bring up what we talked about last episode. One of the reasons I believe that Luke 6 is actually a different message than Matthew 5. In Matthew, the sermon took place before, and now it's before the call, and now this is taking place after the call. In Matthew, the sermon took place on the mount. In Luke, the sermon takes
place
on the plain. So in my view, it can't be the same message. Now, they're very similar, but you would expect that.
Right.
You'd expect that Jesus would preach, reiterate a message.
Exactly. Yeah. He might be slightly different, but it's really the same, same thing.
So is it the same message? Yes, but delivered at a different time and maybe a different, with different emphases. And you'll find that as you study the two of them. Matthew's message is much longer and it deals a lot more with the law, which you would expect because it would be more of a Jewish audience. Whereas Luke, the Gentile, writing a book that's going to provide evidence for Gentile and Jew alike is not going to emphasize that as much. But be that as it may, the Bible says that he stood in the plain and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem. So that's a long place away. As you know, Hannah, that's all the way down south. And from the sea, from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. So that would be modern day, like Lebanon, up into Syria, that area. Wow. So we're talking about people from miles and miles away, north and south. So the Bible says from Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him to be healed of their diseases, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Verse 19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. That's an interesting verse. Does that verse remind you of any other story in the Bible, Hannah? I'm just going to put you on the spot.
Yeah, the woman with the blood disease, she knew that as long as she got to Jesus and touched him, that she would be healed. She had that faith. And I think this happened before, right? The healing of the lady that happened before the multitude?
No, it happened after.
Okay, it happened after. Okay, so this is even before that. So these people had that faith. So I'm wondering if even that woman, part of that was just hearing these
her
stories.
Knowing about this, because this would have been a very famous story with all these people.
Exactly. And something I thought was interesting.
And I've never made that connection. I'm glad you brought that out, because I never made that connection, but that's a really interesting thought.
Yeah, I actually just thought of it in the moment. I didn't really.
We really try to prepare for these podcasts, folks.
I promise we prepared somewhat, right? Something else. I mean, Jesus could have worked alone. I think he wanted the disciples. I mean, he just officially called them, and I think he wanted them to work as a team, learn to work together, and.
Yeah, it's been said that we only permanently succeed as we invest in other people. And so, yes, a big part of ministry now in teaching, in preaching, in miracle working, in serving is to provide a template for those that will remain when he is when he is risen from the dead one day and ascended back to heaven.
Right. I think this was a very exhausting day for Jesus probably as well. I mean, again, I mean, he's human as well as he is God. And there was, I mean, this is a busy, busy scene. Like you said, these people came from miles, miles, miles away. And there's so, who knows how many there are. And like the verse said, virtue went out of him. So it cost him something to be God. It cost him something to serve others, to heal others. So I think, I don't know, like I said, I think it was also very exhausting.
Yeah, it's hard to understand all that that means. Right. But the fact that Jesus had virtue in himself, and by reason of that virtue, a healing could take place. And that obviously is not something that you and I have as human beings, as sinful people. But I do like your thought that, you know, Jesus is expending himself. You know, people are coming to get from him, for him to give. And we understand as God, you're never going to tire him out. But operating as a human being, and Jesus was all man, this is going to be a very cumbersome day and tiresome as these multitudes are not just pressing to hear him, not just pressing to be on the outskirts of his ministry, but they're pressing him to touch him. So you can only imagine the hustle and bustle of this crowd as people are just, you picture a famous athlete or a famous actor or a famous politician walking right through a crowd and the swarm around him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's quite a scene for sure.
And remember what we talked about, all of us, I'm speaking to all of us now. Remember what we talked about a few episodes back, maybe even a couple weeks ago, when we said that the purpose of Jesus' ministry was not primarily to do miracles, but to give the message of salvation, to seek and to save that which was lost. So Jesus had a deeper purpose than simply healing somebody physically. So we'll see that deeper purpose in verse 20, because the Bible says, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, so even though the crowd is pressing him, even though that they want to just see a physical benefit, Jesus is investing, as you said, in these disciples and teaching them how to live and teaching them how to influence. So he says to them in verse 20, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they that separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. So in this little message that Jesus gives, which is very similar to the Sermon on the Mount, really to me, Hannah, there's this theme. Do you see a theme in it?
Yeah.
Okay. So what would it be to you? So I'll let you go first.
No pressure. So he says, blessed be to all of these different types, to blessed to the be poor, to the hungry, to those who weep, to the hated. And at first thoughts, like, what? It doesn't really make that much sense.
Like, because we wouldn't think of any of those things as a blessing.
Right. Like, how can being poor be a blessing? How can any of these things? But I love that the wordage of Jesus, he's just a master of that, of course, as with everything. But like, for instance, just the first one, blessed be ye poor. Why would that be a blessing to be poor? But Jesus, the word he uses for poor means basically refers to someone that is destitute, someone that realizes they are dependent. And he's focusing not a materialistic poor, but a poor in spirit, because being poor in spirit is a prerequisite to salvation, to coming to the kingdom of God. You know, we have to be realize that we're poor, that we're in need of a savior before receiving him.
No, so, that is so good. Go ahead. You're going to say something else.
Oh, no, it's okay. I think I was really done with my thought. I was just kind of rambling, so you can go ahead.
No, well, I mean, I love that thought. But to me, I see two categories. One in which he says, okay, it's a what you're going through right now is, I want you to know, be happy, because that's what blessed means. There's a multiplicity of blessing and good in what you don't think is good right now, a situation that you don't think is a blessing right now, because exactly what you said, because of what is producing in your heart. I think it's James saying in James chapter 2, you know, hath not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? So we would look at poverty as an end in of itself to say, oh, how bad that these people don't have anything and they're hungry and people look down on them and they're hated and they don't have much money and all of these things. Whereas God would say, no, if these things are producing in you a dependence upon the Lord and a faith in God and the things that he can do and a humility in your life, then really it's a blessing, not a curse. Because one day the benefit of faith and the benefit of dependence and the benefit of all the things that your poverty and hatred and things do in your life will be a wonderful reward, as opposed to those that see riches or ease or fame or all these accolades now, because what can that do in my life? That can produce pride and self-focus and self-dependence and all the things that will keep me ultimately from trusting God, from being saved, from serving others. And so don't look at your situation necessarily as the end all be all, but if the situation of your life is producing in your life eternal things of eternal good, like trusting God and humility and character qualities that are of eternal benefit, then for that we are blessed.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, for instance, it's so much easier and natural to not to say, oh, well, I'll explain it in a second. That's why it's easy and natural often to not pray when things are good and pray when things are bad, because again, it's not right to not pray, to not spend time with the Lord, to get to know him better. But it's because, you know, like you just said, like the verses say, when we are in a poor state, when we are, whether it's, you know, literally
or figuratively
in a poor state, hungry, all that, when we are in need, we are going to look for help. But we're not in need physically often, like when we have money, when we're not hungry, all that, all those things. You know, we don't, you know, we have everything we need, you know, that's what we think. So we don't as much naturally seek that dependence.
So what's the answer? Is the answer then to say, oh, well, if there's a blessing to being poor and being hated, well, then I guess I'm just going to sell everything and be poor and throw all my food away? And that's not the point. The point is that the poverty and the hunger, it's a matter of what it produces, my need for, my dependence upon God. So it's not that riches intrinsically are wrong. There were rich people in the Bible whom God blessed. It's the point that riches and fame and popularity are things that are much more dangerous than things like poverty and deprivation, because of what they produce in our life. So Jesus is saying to poor disciples, to disciples that don't have degrees, educational degrees, and might be looked down on by the religious community and might not have the resources of their rich neighbors. He's saying, listen, it's a blessing, because this is a life that's going to produce in you an authentic faith and trust, reliance upon humility. And these are the things that God can and will bless, and that ultimately will bring the reward with them. So I hope that helps, my friends, as you just consider this first part of the teaching of Jesus. We're going to continue this message of the Lord next episode, but I hope this is enough just to chew on for today. And I hope you'll think about the fact that your present circumstance is something that God has allowed and even ordained in your life. Learn from it and learn to trust Him and to rely upon Him and to look for His blessing in your life. So I hope it helps, my friends, and I hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless each one of you.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.